It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg having fun on a Saturday morning, halfway through this show on the 27th. Good morning.
Morning.
Back the rug, everybody. Got a bunch of Luther fans in Vining.
In Vining?
Shout out to Vining.
Shout out to Vining.
Did that?
Yeah, he did that nice.
Yeah,
yes,
some Luther fans in Vining. It's all the Luther fans in Vining. And the rest of you. Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning. We are having fun. Been a couple weeks since we've been together. I want to thank the people who came in, Caleb and Eric, who sat in while I was gone. So thank you. And if you're just joining us, we started the show with our story of the week. And my story was, I never thought in 150 years, if I lived that long, that I'd ever see the Olympic torch in the hands of somebody doing a crip walk. What Snoop did, I just never thought I'd see that. And so that was, to me, there were a lot of other stories, more important, but that's my story of the week.
Yep.
So there you go. And my Olympian that I am following is Trinity Rodman. And yes, she is exactly who you think she would be related to. Got a diamond right in her tooth. Right? Just added to her physique, just like Pop. So anyway, she's part of the U.S. soccer team, and they got the victory right out of her. Listen, expectations are what they are when it comes to women's soccer. They sort of dissipated over the last few years. They got a whole bunch of new young blood at this Olympics, and the word is that they're supposed to perform very well. So they got out of the chute well with a victory. We got stuff going on today, Sam. We got to let folks know about. You know about Bo. You know about Mike. They do the morning shift here. They are going to be at Falcons camp at Schlesinger High School. Schlesinger, excuse me, Schlesinger High School, from 5 until 9 today. And then tomorrow, Dylan and Joe Patrick will be at Falcons training camp up at the Ticketmaster Studios from 9 a.m. until noon. So, letting folks know about that. Well, the other piece of business I got to make sure I got to get here. I think we're good. Yeah. So, what are we going to do with this Falcons, this camp that happened this past week? The camp.
Well, it started. It's still happening.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's why I changed it to the. And we got a lot of people that have been out there, got a lot of people going back out there.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first week. We were very curious to hear what they had to say as they got prepped. And so I tell you what we'll do. Since we have sound from a couple different shows, from a couple different players, I think it's best to hand things over to Noelle.
Okay.
And let her tell us what she about to play and what show it was on. That okay with you?
Yeah.
Noelle, it's your world again.
All right. Well, back like I never left. All right. So the first player we'll hear from is Jake Matthews. He was on the morning shift, and they asked him if training camp gets any easier at this point in his career.
I don't think you can ever call the game easy. I don't know. You're maybe a little more comfortable and confident, kind of knowing defenses and schemes. But, man, it's training camp. You got to come out here and work. So first day went well.
Yeah, I was kind of watching your workload out there, and I was like, get this man out of there. You know what I'm saying? Take some reps off this guy's knees. But, yeah, man, you look good 10 years in. I love seeing it.
Yeah, you know, Jake, I know you guys are all working on stuff, trying to figure out new offenses and everything. And I'm sure you're working on a few things here and there personally. What are you trying to work on this camp for you personally?
I think one of the biggest compliments you can get as an O-lineman is just a guy who's consistent. And obviously that starts with being able to play and show up. And then a guy that, hey, we don't have to worry about anything we call. He's going to take care of it. So, you know, there's always something. You never completely arrive to the point where you've got it figured out. You know, there's a first step. There's a hand placement. There's a bunch of little things on the list that you're trying to chisel away at. So you definitely, you get your hands full all season.
Now, real quick, in that essence with Kirk Cousins, is the cadence that different to kind of learn with him? Or
Yeah, Every quarterback's different. There's definitely a getting accustomed to period. But, man, no, I love the way Kirk does it. OTAs was really, really good for us. That's one of the things I kind of mentioned in our room was that I felt like we were much more ahead on the cadence and being able to take advantage of that. So I think we're in a good place with that. I don't think we had too many false starts today. Not that I remember. There were two. I didn't see them. So we got some work to do.
You know, well, I was like, dang it, come on, man.
They weren't yours.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
All right, so obviously in the media, we're big on buzzwords. You got vibe, you got ethos. What do you think has been the biggest difference so far with Raheem Morse? I mean, it just seems like there's an upbeat attitude out here. Not that it wasn't before, but it seems like everybody, obviously day one's a little bit easier going, but everybody seems to be kind of on the same page bouncing around.
Yeah, Raheem's definitely bringing that kind of energy where it's, hey, we're going to have fun, we're going to work hard, and, you know, our goal is to win. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, it's a different way, but I love the approach. I love the way guys' attitudes are and everything, and it's fun being in the building, yeah.
What's your impression of Zach Robinson so far? Because going back for me, I actually played in the Senior Bowl with Zach Robinson, so he's not that much older than you, but obviously has come a long way in a short amount of time in the NFL. What's it been like with him so far?
He's been awesome. He actually, his recruiting visit to Oklahoma State, my older brother was with him on that, along with my dad, so wow. That was pretty fun here, and my dad actually mentioned it to me before I talked to him, so yeah, I think he's 4 or 5 years older than me, so not too different, but wow. I know, but no, he, man, he's been awesome. I've really enjoyed working with him. Love his attitude and demeanor, and you know, I think he's gonna do really good things for us, so following his lead.
You guys are breaking in a new coach, new offensive coordinator. You just talked about Zach Robinson, new quarterback. There's a lot of new, but one thing that's not new, and it's really kind of a rarity for you in your term here, is that you got all five guys coming back on the offensive line. How important is that, and what does that mean for you guys moving forward?
Yeah, you know, personally, I've had a few guys play guard next to me the last few years, and man, I couldn't be happier with Bergeron, man. His rookie year just did a great job. Fits in great in the room, works hard, wants to do things the right way. So that's been really good, being back with him. And the rest of the guys, obviously, I've been with for a while, and you know, I think their record speaks for themselves. Just, we got a solid room. Doesn't mean anything's given to us. We got to get back to work and earn it again and prove it again this year, but I think we're in a good place.
Finishing up here with Falcons left tackle Jake Matthews. And Jake, not only the starting five come back, but you also got D-Led back as the offensive line coach, and I think that's important from a standpoint of he can kind of communicate with Zach Robinson and everybody else what you guys do well, maybe what you don't, and just talk about that continuity that he brings to that offensive line room.
Yeah, he's definitely the glue that keeps our room together, man. Just an awesome coach, someone all the guys respect. Man, he's the same every day, same energy, consistency, and that's awesome to be a part. And he's got our back, which has been really good. So really excited when we found out he was coming back and done really good stuff with him. So we definitely aren't satisfied.
I know it's just really just day one for you guys, and it was not a lot going on out there, but is there a young guy so far that you've kind of seen in what they're doing out there that kind of jumps out on the other side of the ball?
Oh, man. After the first day, he might have to come back to me on that one. But, no, man, I think we had a really solid draft class. You talking mainly rookies, you asked? Yeah, I've gone against Trice a few times. He's definitely got some ability. So besides that, I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've... But yeah, I, from what I've seen so far, you know, definitely talented guys out there.
All right, real quick, I know you got the Guardian cap on. I know it's something that now you guys can wear in games, it seems like. Would you ever consider wearing one of those in a game?
No.
All right, Jake, last thing. Look, this is one of the things we've been kind of asking everybody, having fun with. What's the one thing you have to pack when you come to training camp? Other than clothes, obviously. I mean, some guys bring the PS5. I know that when I was playing, it was the Keurig and all those other things. What other than your clothes has to be in the suitcase when you come into Flower Brand?
Jeez. I do notice that a lot of guys bring video games. I haven't played a video game since middle school. So I'm back. I was playing like N64 and GameCube. But man, I bring a foam roller every year. I'm sitting with the guys in front of the TV just rolling out, man, trying to keep it loose.
Hey, there you have it. Jake Matthews, secret to longevity, the foam roller, man. Hey, good luck this season, man. Glad to see you healthy, and hope we have a lot of success this year.
Appreciate it, man. Good seeing you.
All right, that was nice. And is it official that the Matthews are the first family of the NFL? Is it worth
really
even?
Say that.
Well, why not?
But somewhere,
who could beat them?
I'd say that.
Oh, you agree?
I would. Yeah. I would very much through three generations.
Seven members who played, seven different Matthews, 25 Pro Bowl invitations, 11 first team AP pro selections, 3 Super Bowl appearances.
Yeah.
You got one Hall of Famer I can think of off the top of my head with Bruce. Let me just make sure here.
And like I said, three generations.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else can say you got three generations NFL players.
I mean, there's others who play more, you know, sexy positions.
Well, yeah.
But.
Yeah. But yeah.
They sit down,
when Jake Matthews can talk about he's doing his grandfather play.
Yeah, Bruce. Bruce's Hall of Fame.
You know what I mean? That's remarkable.
They can tell everybody, you know what. Anyway, that wasn't the only conversation that we got here. I know there was some vets like Jake. We also had some rookies, right, Noel?
Yes, we got Braylon Trice with Dukes and Bell, and they asked him a little bit about himself.
Dukes and Bell live at Falcons training camp. Braylon Trice joining us. First of all, welcome, man. We hadn't had a chance to really holler at you, but we were excited to get you. Tell our listeners about yourself, man, because a lot of people trying to get to know you guys. You know, obviously you had a great career at Washington, but Jimmy Lake recruited you there, right?
Yeah. A little bit about me, I guess, is just countless like effort and, you know, days where I'm stacking and trying to get better and be great. Constantly trying to learn and get better from the older guys. You know, they got a lot of tips and tricks that I listen to every single day and film and on the field. And, you know, I'm a year one guy, a rookie, and I'm just trying to be like them, if not better one day. So I'm going to go out there and give it all every single day, right?
And Braylon, the scouting report said you were a leader on that Washington team and you were a badass. Is that true?
I believe it, yeah. Yeah, I love that team, man. It was a lot of fun those years that I was there. A lot of dudes just pouring everything into the game while I was there, and that's really why we got to where we were, you know?
No doubt. Getting here, being acclimated, like, what's the difference, man? We always ask guys, you know, what's the change? You've been in town a while now. Like, what's that like for you?
For me right now, it's just, you know, getting used to the speed of the game out here. But I like to say, like, it's not a huge difference. It's just the mental aspect, you know. The physical part is there, you know. But other than that, just the humidity, you got to get used to that.
Yeah.
But I've been having fun. It's been great, and I'm loving it out here so far.
Is it kind of cool, as Braylon Trice is with us here live on Dukes and Bell, that Penix, you're on the same team? It's kind of cool.
It's really cool. I mean, it was awesome to see how we got two leaders from our team, offense and defense, captains too. So bringing, like, that aspect of leadership from our team and bringing it over here as young guys, we can use that to make this team better in our own ways. So,
Braylon, what are we getting in Jimmy Lake, man? I mean, obviously he's a new DC here. You know, he's got a great resume, but what are we getting in him? What kind of coach is he? How does he coach?
Constant energy, constant fire. He's going to correct you when you need to be corrected, but he can bring that energy and make sure everybody's flipping that switch and ready to go when it's time to go. In meetings, he's always, you know, cracking jokes and keeping everybody alive. But when we get on the field, it's lock-in time. If you're not going, he's going to let you know. If you need to step it up, he'll let you know.
It's Falcons rookie, although he has the energy of an OG, Braylon Trice, with us here on Dukes and Bell. What are they asking you? What is your responsibilities in this defense?
Right now, it's just to learn it all, get as much as I can in, and you know, hopefully I'll get out there and get a lot of playing time. But, you know, God's plan, and I'm just grateful to be here in the first place, right?
No doubt. What about sacks, man? We talk about sacks a lot.
We need them.
We do. Obviously, you did a lot of that in college. Mm-hmm. Talk about your success, and do you have a signature move? Like, what do you do? How do you approach pass rush?
The way I've developed my pass rush game, I'd like to go, like, power a lot now because I gained some weight, got bigger. But I think that for me, like, I told myself I want to, like, play to my abilities and powers. It's that. And I can play off power with anything, really. I can set up a move with that, get a whole chest game going. So, really, just throwing my body into them, pushing them all the way back to the QB in his lap and doing my thing. So
he does look all swole up, doesn't he?
I will say that. Hey, man, since we didn't get a chance to talk to you since you got drafted, what was your draft weekend like? How cool was it? What were you excited? What do you know about Atlanta?
Yeah, it was awesome. A lot of people said I looked emotionless on the film, but no, dude, I couldn't. Like, I'd been sitting there for a while. You know, everybody wants to go as high up as they can, but I was sitting there just speechless, didn't have any words for it. You know, it's that something you've been wishing for your whole life, growing up playing sports, playing football. And I was so blessed to be able to have all my family, all my friends, everybody came in to stay with us and spend time together. So,
what about Penix, man? I mean, obviously you played the last 2 years with him. Mm-hmm. We're getting familiar with him. We know he can play, right? We know he can spin it. But what about the person? What about him?
He's a real deal on and off the field. He's a great dude off the field. He's out there fishing, you know, on his time off, spending some time, you know. But, you know, he's a good guy. He's on the field. He knows what he's doing. He does what he's supposed to do. He's a leader on and off the field. And off the field, he's just as good, you know.
Since we got you here, what do you think your former coach, DeBoer, is going to do in Alabama?
Uh-oh. I think he's going to do great. You know, props to him. Like, congrats to him for getting that spot. Big shoes to fill, but, you know, I know DeBoer, and I know he'll be able to do it. He'll do great. So,
yeah. Did he tell you guys that he was leaving, or did you have any communication with all that whole situation?
I didn't really know too much at the time because I was one of the guys that were leaving. But
sure.
I found out from my younger guys that it was happening, so that's really all I can say.
So going to the Big Ten, what y'all going to look like, man?
I think it's going to be great. Yeah. They got a get some weight on them a little bit, which I know they're doing. But yeah, they're gonna be great.
Okay. Washington going to the Big Ten. Man, we appreciate you hanging out and just getting a chance to know you. Good luck this season, brother. Thank we'll you, get a chance you. To see you. Braylon, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We want to give you as much sound as we can from Flowery Branch when we get the opportunity. We'll remind you
this week. And we'll tell them what's happening tonight.
Well, first of all, tonight, Bo, Mike Johnson, going to be at second. Now you got me thinking about it. Secondure High School.
There you go.
They'll be there from 5 until 9. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Dylan and Joe Patrick will be at the Ticketmaster Studios up there at the training camp. From 9 a.m. until 12, they'll be on part of our show. But what I was going to say is Tuesday and Wednesday, they'll be all over the place. The morning shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy going to be at the Ticketmaster Studios at Flowery Branch. And then Dukes and Bell are going to be at the Hooters at the Mall of Georgia.
Why do they get to do that?
Well, flip of a coin, I can see who won, because it's the same thing on Wednesday, too. Morning shift, Steakhouse, and Andy and Randy will be looking at all those tough football players out there at the camp.
Yeah.
And Dukes and Bell will be at Hooters. At Mall of Georgia. But then Friday.
Tough assignment, man. That's tough work.
But then Friday, Dukes of Bell.
Yeah.
From 2 to 7. Abe Gordon from 7 to 10 are going to be at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
There you go.
We're broadcasting live out there.
Yeah. So,
there you go. The upcoming week of appearances.
Yes.
We got a special guest coming up next.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't talk to Megan L. Hall from USA Today. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on the Saturday, the 27th day of July. That is from the Super Bowl, the LA Super Bowl. And our next guest wanted to hear this.
Okay.
She didn't expect it to come from the Super Bowl. We got to thank Megan for coming on here and joining us every week. During this break, the WNBA taking this time off during the Olympics, but she has been diligent as far as filling in and being a part of the show, growing our audience, bringing folks here to follow her. And listen, we get to talk not only Dream, but we get to talk all WNBA with Megan. And also, now it's Olympics.
Absolutely.
So from USA Today and For the Win, Megan L. Hall, good morning. How'd you like that intro?
I loved it. It was fantastic. 10 out of 10. No notes.
The games are underway. We're waiting for the basketball to get started, but what have you been watching so far?
Yeah, how's your week watching this? The opening ceremonies and everything?
Well, first let me say, I'm so happy that you guys remembered that I said California Love was the song I wanted.
I did. That was the first thing I thought of, was playing that version, too, when you said that.
I loved it. The other thing is, I was watching the opening ceremonies yesterday, and I mean, I will say this: anyone who stayed to watch the entire, like, what is it, 5.5 hours? Like, wow, so much went into that. So much, I guess, theatrics and presentation, and it was really cool to see all the like boats coming down the Seine River. And then finally, you know, getting to towards the end of the ceremony, you have this beautiful performance from Celine Dion, and I may or may not have cried like a big baby. And then you have, you know, of course, the lighting of the cauldron and that sort of thing. So it was just fantastic. That was great. And then I woke up this morning to, what was it, a silver medal in women's synchronized 3-meter springboard. So that's pretty cool.
This is what I've been waiting to ask you, though, because like last week, I wasn't here, so I haven't had a chance to talk to you, and I don't know if you guys talked about this, so forgive me for going over this, but I watched that game, the sort of warm-up game between the WNBA players versus the Olympic team.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Did you comment on that, and what were your thoughts about that after it happened? And again, I've heard the conversation about, you know, what should have been, and maybe they should, these guys, all of that stuff. What was your thought after that game with the players and what they did to the Olympic team?
Yeah, for sure. So first of all, fantastic game. I was so proud that not only did the fans in the arena, you know, 16,000 plus fans got a show, but so did everyone else watching. This is, you know, upwards of 4 million people watching got a show, and they got to see all this elite talent in the WNBA. And we talk a lot about, you know, okay, hey, you might have come to the WNBA for Caitlin, or maybe you came for Angel, or maybe you came for Cameron Brink, whoever you came for, but you have stayed, and now you're seeing this immense talent. And I just absolutely loved all of it. I loved Arike, you know, just torching Team USA
really?
34 points. You know, I will say this. What's crazy is Arike went off, but nobody really talked about how Brianna Stewart also went off. She had 31 points. And so to me, it was just a really great display and really kind of backed up that, like, this league is deep, deep with talent. And I think that's the overarching thing that I came away with. I had someone ask me, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, but hey, well, what happened? Maybe they got Team USA wrong. And I'm like, you know, I think the thing is, it's a couple things. We can say the thing, right? Like, there's obviously politics involved in the Team USA selection. Like, that's not a thing. Even Arike talked about, like, that's why she pulled her name out of consideration. But what I will also say is that just having talent doesn't always equate to you being on the Team USA roster, right? Like, if that was the case, someone like Kalia Copper, someone like Alyssa Thomas, who clear talents, WNBA champion with Kalia Copper, for example, and she's just now getting to her first Olympics and she's seven seasons in, right? And obviously you make exceptions, you know, or you would think you make exceptions for generational talents and things like that in a Caitlin Clark or someone like Arike, who you know is a clear shooter. But I just think that, you know, again, this just tells you just how much talent the league has. So that's the overarching thing I came up with, is I wasn't really worried about Team USA because they were using that game anyways to kind of, you know, get gelling, so to speak, before Paris. And obviously they were fine. You know, if you saw their exhibition against Germany just a couple days after. But it was just a wow, like, hey, if you came for someone, like, you probably weren't expecting this big of a show. And I'm glad that you stayed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Folks, spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Megan L. Hall. Always great to talk with her. And she is social. You can find her at It's Megan L. Hall. At Megan L. Hall. You know, I don't think the U.S. team will face a team as talented as the WNBA All-Stars. You know, the women's game globally, to me, is not quite to where the men's game is globally, where you have these teams that are going to be a threat to the men's team. I just think the concentration of talent that we saw in that WNBA All-Star team was like something that I don't think they're going to see that caliber of talent in this Olympic tournament. I don't know what you think or what you're expecting from the teams from the other countries.
Yeah, I would say that someone like an Australia, if you take a look at their team, it's littered with WNBA talent as well. So you've got Ezzie McBeggar from the Seattle Storm, who is a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. You've got Jade Melbourne of the Mystics. You've got, I mean, a ton of talent. I'm just naming folks off the top of my head. Lauren Jackson, who was a Seattle Storm great for many years, and has also been playing international ball for years and years, several championships there. So I think there's maybe a team or two who could probably potentially challenge them. But I would not be stunned to see this team come home with another gold medal. I think, and here's the reason why, and this is no slight to anyone else on that roster, but Asia Wilson is on some sort of just otherworldly tear.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Without a doubt.
Yeah, and I cannot see Asia Wilson saying, we didn't come home with this gold. So, you know, take that for what it is. But there's something about the energy that Asia brings, the tenacity that she plays with, that other people gravitate towards. And she by herself is just a one-woman wrecking crew. And very few people have had answers for Asia Wilson. And if that's the case, you managed to neutralize Asia Wilson. By the way, the Team USA is littered with people who can also help. Brianna Stewart, Kalia Copper, Alyssa Thomas, Sabrina Ionescu, Jewel Loy. Like, the list goes on. So it's a pretty stacked squad. So I would be stunned to see them not come home with it. The expectation, obviously, and they know that too, is that they do. But yeah, I think that they're, you know, they're primed to do that. And I think that would be fantastic. Probably the keynote for Diana Taurasi, who's in her sixth Olympics. She said the other day, hey, this is her last ride as far as the Olympics goes. And it would be great to send her off as well with a gold medal.
Megan L. Hall, USA Today's For the Win, joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. She's talking about they know what's going on over there. They know a lot about the bright light that's on them right now. You know what's funny, Sam? We talk about this in other sports. We talk about this with other athletes when you say that they play up to the level of the competition. So in other words, right, they have some sort of switch they can turn on and off. But in this case, when we talk about the women basketball players, whether it's the NBA, the Olympic team, whatever it is, they are turning it up because they know the light that's on them right now. She's talking about Asia Wilson playing with some sort of
she's on a mission, fifth, sixth gear. Oh yeah,
right,
absolutely.
And it's because of the opportunity that is there right now, and they got to take advantage of it. And so I agree with everything that you're saying, though. But it's straight. We're in a weird time right now in a lot of things having to do with sports. Period. We could morph off this and everything that Megan's saying, and talk about the craziness of what's going on in college football or college sports. Period. With the conferences. But this is what I wanted to ask you, Megan, as we approach the end of the Olympics and what's coming up next. Talk about the second season of the WNBA and where some focus should be, other than where what we have here locally with the Dream.
Yeah, for sure. So the second half should be really great from a couple standpoints. So obviously you're going to get rest for several people, right? Like they're getting, you know, 3+ weeks off. That's going to be really rejuvenating for your younger players, especially those who were in the NCAA tournament earlier this year, because they've been playing basketball for nearly a year straight. So for them, that's going to be fantastic. The other thing that you want to look at is, okay, teams are getting a chance to get healthy. You know, a couple teams were banged up, so they have had a chance to rest. And you know, what will they do down the stretch? I'm particularly talking about the Dream as well. They really come to mind because they've dealt with so many injuries. So you know, that will be helpful for them. I think the biggest thing is who's going to be in the playoffs, right? You're going to come down the back half of the season, and right now the Dream sit outside that bubble. You know, for better or worse, they're at, we'll call it 9. So they're just outside, and they would have to go pretty flawless, I would think, down the stretch of the season in order to probably get an 8th spot, because you're looking at Chicago, Indiana, and the Phoenix Mercury for 6, 7, and 8, and that is going to be a really tough battle. The Fever are sneaky good, and they've beaten some top teams with the Phoenix Mercury. They've beaten, you know, Minnesota Lynx. They upset the New York Liberty, so it's very clear that they can, you know, do that on any given night. So I'd be curious. I'd also be curious to see what the Phoenix Mercury do, because they brought over Kalia Copper, Natasha Cloud in the offseason, and they've been kind of sitting at this weird 500 spot for most of the season. They can't really get too far above 500. So I would be curious to see what they do, because if you've been paying attention to anything that's being said, I want to bring this up, is LaChyna Robinson from ESPN said that she describes the Phoenix Mercury as the biggest threat to the Las Vegas Aces in their three-peat journey. So I think that they're built to do that. They've got several, you know, pieces on that team that could potentially help upset a Las Vegas Aces team. Sorry, Aces fans, if you're listening to this, just cover your ears. But outside of that, I think that, you know, it's going to be very intriguing to see what happens with Chicago down the stretch. They've been playing with, you know, starters and who moves here, who moves where, trading pieces, all of that. And then one more for you is the Connecticut Sun. So speaking of trades, so Marina Mabry came over from Chicago Sky. They sent back some players to the Chicago Sky. And it was mainly to help, I think, this is just my opinion, I think it was to help with their three-point shooting, because they realized they were kind of getting run out of the gym by the better teams in the league like New York Liberty and couldn't keep up. And maybe this is the piece that helps them, you know, potentially knock the Aces off. So it'll be really interesting down the stretch of the season to see what happens. And keep your eyes, of course, on the New York Liberty. They still have a bitter taste in their mouth from losing in the finals and having the Aces celebrate on their home court. So I don't think anybody's forgotten about that. And certainly Aces, you know, obviously understand that the target on their back is a whole lot bigger now.
Well, Megan, before we let you go, got to give you a shout out to Alisha Gray and what she was able to do representing Atlanta Dream. What a weekend she had last weekend, huh?
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, Sam, I'll tell you this. I was so excited for Alisha, because she is such a genuine soul, and people saw that sweet, you know, just charismatic, very bubbly personality on her. And then she went out and shot the lights out the gym. So it's like, okay, all right. This is, you know, duality, I would say. It was awesome. I thought it was much needed for Dream fans. And I also want to shout out Ryan Howard, too, because she was in the 3x3 competition. And she had 12 of Team USA's 19 points, and both of them just, I mean, completely wrecked you know, All-Star weekend, and Alicia walks away with $110,000 in money that she didn't have, you know, just 2 hours prior to winning it.
Yeah, now.
So that's great.
Fantastic. That is fantastic stuff, Greg. Well, Meg, we appreciate you always spending some time with us. Great stuff. I think Team USA is coming up. They got with Japan up. That's going to be the next one.
Yeah.
The first game at the Olympics.
And thank you for making yourself available to us. Now, can we tap into your knowledge for the rest of this Olympics? Can you be like an Olympic correspondent for us?
I can. I can totally do that. That's not a problem. You know, I'm watching anyways, so it's not like, you know, you're not getting anything and I'm not writing down or screaming at my television, of course.
Okay, I should have threw in pro bono, too.
I'm sure
we can do that for her. We can get a T-shirt. She comes to the station and all that stuff.
Megan, thank you so much.
Megan, thank you as always, and enjoy the rest of your day. And, just
enjoy the Olympics.
Bring some good luck this way.
Hey, yeah, I will try to do my best. Don't hold me to it, though, because I don't want anybody to come for me.
All right.
Thanks. All right, this is Megan L. Hall from USA Today's For the Win. I'm working on something over here, right?
Watching tennis, man.
We got moving parts.
Man.
You got Washington.
We got Djokovic on one court. We got Alcaraz on another court playing tennis right now. It's so many things going on right now in Paris.
It's a little radio show.
We got beach volleyball happening up here.
It's suffering because
we got folks at the pool. We got people, gymnastics. It's just all going, folks. It's great. Next couple of weeks, just going to be fun.
Sam and Greg, take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I wouldn't trip that was us, but it is us, Sam.
Really?
It's a Saturday morning. Sometimes the music, it gets popping there. A little bit. We got to wait for it a little bit. Sometimes I get a little impatient. I've been getting impatient because I am calling an audible. I've walked up to the line. I've seen the defense. Even though the casting call that I put together isn't up online because, it's not really important, but it isn't. But we will send you to Get Cast with Greg. And I will also tell you that the list of the casting directors, you just need to go to their social media pages and see what they have, because it's really slow right now. It's going to pick up. It's starting to pick up. But there are jobs in front of the camera. I promise you tomorrow I will have a full-blown, ready to send you to immediately.
Full-blown.
Casting call. But I don't do this lightly. Make this change, because I have somebody that I'd like to bring on. What have we been talking about this morning? All morning long, what have we been talking about? We just got through talking about a little bit with Megan. The Olympics.
The Olympics?
The Olympics, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to talk the Olympics and you have the opportunity, you talk to an Olympian. I surprised you with this woman on her birthday. Now, do you know who I'm talking about? I have her back right now.
Really?
She has been quite busy. She is a fan of Sam and Greg. She loves the station. She loves us. She loves you, more importantly. But she wanted to join us and talk about not just what's going on over in France, but what's near and dear to her, too. So would you welcome, with a big round of applause, even though it's just one person, 3-time Olympic gold medalist, Gail Devers, and friend of the show,
wow,
Sam.
Man. All right, now.
Called my girl and brought her back.
You know.
Sam, how you
doing? Good morning.
Good morning. Where are you?
Oh, I'm just getting back in town, and then I'm leaving back out again. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, she is. So I've been reaching out to her for a little bit, and she hit me back, and I was like, we got to get Gail. Oh, I don't want to take a chance to even try tomorrow.
Yeah.
So listen.
Oh, no.
Before we get to, and thank you. I mean, this is.
Oh, no.
I mean, this is the time when she is pulled in 18 different directions. People want to talk to an Olympian, right?
Yeah. What you going to ask about? Can I ask about the boat?
You can ask her whatever you want to ask. Go ahead, Sam. Ask her, did she watch anything last night?
Yeah. What'd you think about the boat?
I did.
What'd you think about the boat?
Looking, I was like, the waves were kind of moving around, and it was raining, so I was like, okay, I'm going to leave my opinion on that. It was nice, though.
You're being nice. She's being nice.
I was like, but me, now, personally, I've never even gone to an opening ceremony. I never participated in opening ceremonies, because back then, we ran the day after. So there was no way I was going to stand, you know, and I was texting back and forth with Maria, too. They had been on the boat for a long time sitting. I'm like, oh, boy.
Really?
You know,
so they changed the order because now track comes last. You know,
yes.
I mean, did that kind of change here in Atlanta?
I'm not sure when it changed. I just know, I mean, there's been several changes. Like, we used to run 4 rounds. They run 3 rounds now also in the event.
So that's a difference too. And you can, you know, you'll see when the 100 meters start, they'll run one round and then they come back the next day for the semifinals and the finals. Whereas we ran two and two, no matter who you were, you didn't have like, there are some people that will run early. I can't remember if it's not called a preliminary. Yeah, I think it's called preliminary. And if they make the standard, then they can move on. You know, and that, I think that's more so because there are some countries that don't have to actually make the qualifying standard. They get to send someone, you know, as a representative anyway in each event. So.
The epitome of what is known as a world-class athlete. This is Gail Devers joining us right now. Gold medal from the 92 Olympics in Barcelona in the 100. Two gold medals in the 96 Olympics here in Atlanta, the 100 meters and the 4x100 relay. And a litany of other gold medals from the World Championships, Indoor Championships, World Championships. So, you know, her resume is beyond reproach.
I mean, she got people texting me saying, I'm Cheryl is listening. Hello, Cheryl. Says,
hello, Cheryl.
Oh, I love that you guys are interviewing Gail Devers this morning. So they were getting
yeah. Again, so Gail's joining us here. Listen, right as we get ready for the Olympics here. Now I maybe forget my question. I was going to ask
about Sha'Carri. Don't ask about Sha'Carri.
No,
Richardson.
I wasn't going to. I was actually thinking about her last night on that boat. She needed to button that thing up a couple more because I thought something was going to happen.
No,
I thought we had a. She knows what I'm talking about. I thought it was a Janet Jackson situation about to happen. Did you think that? Did you think that, Gail?
I thought she was. Hey, she said I'm sexy, and she can do what she wants to do. You know.
All right, listen. Let's get back to the Olympics, because I really want to make sure that she has a chance to talk about this. Because Gail, obviously, this is near and dear to your heart. In 1990, you were diagnosed with Graves' disease, and not only an Olympian being pulled in different directions to talk about that, but also people want to talk about how you are a part of that community and what you're doing for Graves' disease.
Yeah, you know what? Thank you for that. This is actually Graves' Disease Awareness Month, and people know about my Graves' disease story. I share also the link that if you have it, pay attention to your eyes, because for 30 years after I was diagnosed, you know, I've been dealing with eye issues, not driving at nighttime, and it comes back that I was diagnosed with thyroid eye disease. And, you know, no, I say it with the Graves' disease and everything else. No one should go through what I went through. We're trying to get to that finish line first and be a sprinter. And the only way we're going to do that is to pay attention to your health and not ignore or let other people ignore what you know is right. So that's, you know, that's what I've been doing. But, you know, it's the Olympic Games now. I am a true Olympic fan. I like all events. I like all sports. And I, you know, I'm glad that it's starting today. I've got it taped, you know, so when I'm not at home, I can, like, go back and look at it. Back in the day, it was TiVo. Now, you know, you could just put it on with your phone or whatever. So I am that one that will be up at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning because I want to watch it live or whatever. So, yeah, I'm excited that, you know, we're getting started today. I know Simone's starting and the men in gymnastics, waiting for Ledecky to see what she's going to do. You know, everybody keeps talking about, well, there's some young kids. Okay, you never, ever underestimate the oldies but goodies. So those have been there before, know how to get it done. So I'm waiting and excited for that. And then definitely, you know, track and field, that's my sport. So, you know, there's a lot of predictions out there, and I can't make predictions. I like to wait until the events actually start and then see how the athletes run their rounds, because to me that's an indicator of where they are. You know, I watched at the trials, and we've got some great stories and of these athletes and young athletes. It's kind of crazy because you watch the Olympic trials and those that, you know, everybody has their favorites or whatever, but those that you thought may make it, some of them, they're not on the team, you know, they're at home or they made it on the relay. I think this year, I think we're coming back on that relay. We're about to take it back because we've got some great four, five, and six athletes that, you know, whether they didn't make it in the individual race, they're sitting there waiting. Like, I know Christian Coleman is going to be eager to get out on that track, and I think we may bring the goal back on that. That will be one prediction I make. But other than that, I would love to see what happens. There's in the 200, you know, we've got Gabby, we've got Mackenzie Long, who everybody kind of knows her story by now, and she won NC. She won what I call the Triple Crown. She won the 100, the 200, and then she was also part of their gold medal 4x1. and she lost her mom earlier this year, and so she's just she's got that it factor, in my opinion. And I think, you know, she didn't make it in the 100, and people are like, oh my gosh, she didn't make it in the 100, but things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think her not making it in the 100, I don't know what she thinks her better event is, and I don't actually even care at this point. I think when she gets out there, that 200, she's going to call on something else, that extra, like they say, you can't give more than 100%, so she's going to give 100% and a little oomph, and I think that's going to take her over. I think I hope to see her medal in that event. I think that's a great event for her. And then, you know, everybody's waiting to see. It's been 28 years. Are we going to bring the gold medal back in the 100 meters? If you look at the 100 meters for women, we have sent a great team to Paris. And it's crazy because they swept the coach for Sha'Carri. Sha'Carri's coach is Dennis Mitchell. His crew, they swept. I mean, they first, second, and third came from Dennis Mitchell as a coach. So we got T.T. Terry, you got Melissa Jefferson, you got Sha'Carri. And so it's awesome. And then if you watch what they've run, but now there's going to be competition. Nothing's going to be a giveaway. You know, they're going to have to fight for what they want, because you've got Julian Alfred, who's been running very well. And then, you know, like you say, you got the oldies but goodies in the 100 meters. And then I say that because, you know, you can't count out. You may want to, and we want that gold medal to come back. And I know that the team that we sent is great, and they're capable of getting it done. And so that's the, you know, put on your red, white, and blue and sit there and wait for that time so that, you know, we can give all the positive energy, whether you're in Paris or wherever you are. Send that energy to them. I always say, well, you do feel that, because you feel like you're taking it with you.
Okay, all right, yeah. Gail.
Yes,
we love you, but you got to take a breath, because we got questions for you, and if you keep going, it's going to be like a college course here. So hang on, let everybody know. Take a little. Okay, this is Gail Devers. This is why she's a champion, right? She not let nobody get over on her, right? She just keep going, and great information.
Absolutely,
great information.
Absolutely, we get it from the source.
But I got a bunch of questions here, and I want to get them in there. So, and I know you do too, Sam. Did you
do? Go ahead.
All right. Well, this is what I want to know. First of all, a statement, because she said earlier that she didn't participate in any of the opening ceremonies.
Yeah, because you had to compete then.
And I understand that. I just kind of feel bad, because there was some cool Alona, that dude shooting the arrow and lighting the cauldron. Oh, yeah. That was great.
You weren't there for Ali?
And Ali, that's what I'm saying.
I was watching it from my room. I saw it. And I felt like I was there. And for me, it gets me, when it comes time for me to run, I like, all this energy that you hear from me, I channel it to just right there. It's my solitude, and I've got to get ready. I don't want to be on my feet 6-7 hours, because that's basically what it is. If you commit to going to the opening ceremony, you're going to be on your feet. And if you run within the next couple days, it's a lot. Like you saw last night, they talked about Simone was not there. Why? Because she's got to get up and compete this morning.
You know,
and that's a lot. No matter if there's a chair for you or not, it's still just being out in that energy. And you get a lot of energy from being opening, closing ceremonies, and just the whole thing about being at the games. And so you don't want that to take away or distract. And, you know, people used to ask me, they're like, but you didn't go, you didn't do this. And I said, okay, let me put it to you this way. People watch the opening ceremonies because it's entertaining. I want to be the entertainment.
There you go. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. All right. So here's my other question.
I hear you.
Think back to when you walked either in the Olympic Village or on the track, Barcelona and Atlanta. Tell us when it was that it hit you that here I am, and what was that? What did you say to yourself? And where were? If you can remember Barcelona, let's start there. Or if you want to start in Atlanta.
Okay, so Barcelona, it was getting off the plane and knowing, and then when we went to our first practice, or I don't know if it was the first practice, but one of the practices, it was on Montjuic Mountain, which is, like, really high. And you look now, this is interesting, though, but when you look down, it was a graveyard, because I remember going up to where...
Yeah, I heard about that. Barcelona.
Going up to where the... swimmers were diving. I was like, oh, boy. You know, and so it does hit you that, for me... In Barcelona, it was like, I can't believe I'm here based off of all that I've just gone through. 18 months ago, I was crawling on my hands, you know, hoping that I'd walk again, and now here I am. And you make the best of it. In Barcelona, I actually stayed on a boat, on a ship. It was docked, trust me. Okay. I'm not trying to be out in the water.
Yeah.
But it was going and knowing that this is my opportunity. And because I even remember, even after I won the gold medal in the 100 meters, I walked off the ship and I came back and asked the captain to put my medal somewhere. And I walked back on saying, this is my only opportunity now, that I'm just getting here again for the hurdles. And so I think, you know, it's a reflection of all that you've gone through. In Atlanta, for me, I didn't live here at that time. So, but I came here and I said, this is home turf. I don't care if I wasn't born or raised here, this is home turf. And, you know, it was just the idea that you get to compete on home soil, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in 2028, it's going to be awesome for the U.S. athletes, because there's nothing like what we feel like is home field advantage. Any other time, you're taking that, you're taking the world. That's what I'm saying. Bring that energy, send that energy, because as an athlete across the water, back then it was harder for other people to come with you. Now, you know, you hear people, you know, Simone has 17 people with her, and that support, she's going to rally off that support, but also those that she knows is cheering for her, and you kind of call on that kind of energy to help you get through.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic, folks. Folks, we're getting it from the source this morning.
Yeah.
I mean, we really and truly are. And, Gil, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Before I let you go, and I know it bugs you because it bugs me, it's Olympics, and folks in this country stood up and noticed track. We had a great event over at Morehouse. I saw you over there. It was fantastic. Can we keep that? And I understand that Michael Johnson is attempting to launch some. Talk about the future of that in the States and your hopes for that.
Oh, my goodness. You know, that's been my hope and prayer since 1902 when I felt like I was born. So, you don't want to have to always go across the water to have great competition. Because if you look, even at the trials, we've got the top fastest.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I wasn't sure if that was us, but this is us, Sam.
Really?
This is a Saturday morning. Sometimes the music, see, it gets popping there. A little bit. We got to wait for it a little bit. Sometimes I get a little impatient. I've been getting impatient because I am calling an audible. I've walked up to the line. I've seen the defense. Even though the casting call that I put together isn't up online because, it's not really important, but it isn't. But we will send you to Get Cast with Greg. And I will also tell you that the list of the casting directors, you just need to go to their social media pages and see what they have, because it's really slow right now. It's going to pick up. It's starting to pick up. But there are jobs in front of the camera. I promise you tomorrow I will have a full-blown, ready to send you to immediately.
Full-blown.
Casting call. But I don't do this lightly, make this change, because I have somebody that I'd like to bring on. What have we been talking about this morning? All morning long, what have we been talking about? We just got through talking about a little bit with Megan. The Olympics.
The Olympics?
The Olympics, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to talk to the Olympics and you have the opportunity, you talk to an Olympian. I surprised you with this woman on her birthday. Now, do you know who I'm talking about? I have her back right now.
Really?
She has been quite busy. She is a fan of Sam and Greg. She loves the station. She loves us. She loves you, more importantly. But she wanted to join us and talk about not just what's going on over in France, but what's near and dear to her, too. So would you welcome, with a big round of applause, even though it's just one person, 3-time Olympic gold medalist, Gail Devers, and friend of the show,
wow,
Sam.
Man. All right, now.
Called my girl and brought her back.
You know.
Sam, how you
doing?
Good morning. Where are you?
Oh, I'm just getting back in town, and then I'm leaving back out again. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, she is. So I've been reaching out to her for a little bit, and she hit me back, and I was like, we got to get Gail. I don't want to take a chance even try tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
So listen,
oh, no.
Before we get to, and thank you. I mean, this is.
Oh, no.
I mean, this is the time when she is pulled in 18 different directions. People want to talk to an Olympian, right?
Yeah. What you going to ask about? Can I ask about the boat?
You can ask her whatever you want to ask. Go ahead, Sam. Ask her, did she watch anything last night?
Yeah. What'd you think about the boat?
I did.
What'd you think about the boat?
Looking, I was like, the waves were kind of moving around, and it was raining, so I was like, okay, I'm going to leave my opinion on that. It was nice, though.
You're being nice. She's being nice.
I was like, but me, now, personally, I've never even gone to an opening ceremony. I never participated in opening ceremonies, because back then, we ran the day after. So there was no way I was going to stand, and I was texting back and forth with Maria, too. They had been on the boat for a long time sitting. I'm like, oh, boy.
Really? So they changed the order because now track comes last. You know,
yes.
I mean, did that kind of change here in Atlanta?
I'm not sure when it changed. I just know, I mean, there's been several changes. Like, we used to run four rounds. They run three rounds now also in the event. So that's a difference, too. And you can, you'll see when the 100 meters start, they'll run one round and then they come back the next day for the semifinals and the finals. Whereas we ran two and two, no matter who you were, you didn't have like, there are some people that will run early. I'm not sure. I can't remember if it's not called a preliminary. Yeah, I think it's called preliminary. And if they make the standard, then they can move on. And that, I think that's more so because there are some countries that don't have to actually make the qualifying standard. They get to send someone, as a representative anyway in each event. So.
The epitome of what is known as a world-class athlete. This is Gail Devers joining us right now. Gold medal from the 92 Olympics in Barcelona in the 100. Two gold medals in the 96 Olympics here in Atlanta, the 100 meters and the 4x100 relay. And a litany of other gold medals from the World Championships, Indoor Championships, World Championships. So, her resume is beyond reproach.
I mean, she got people texting me saying, I'm Cheryl is listening. Hello, Cheryl. Says,
hello, Cheryl.
Oh, I love that you guys are interviewing Gail Devers this morning. So they were getting
yeah. Again, so Gail's joining us here. Right as we get ready for the Olympics here. Now I maybe forget my question. I was going to ask
about Sha'Carri. You want to ask about Sha'Carri?
No, I wasn't going to. I was actually thinking about her last night on that boat. She needed to button that thing up a couple more because I thought something was going to happen.
No,
I thought we had she knows what I'm talking about. I thought it was a Janet Jackson situation about to happen. Did you think that? Did you think that, Gail?
I thought she was. Hey, she said I'm sexy, and she can do what she wants to do.
All right, listen. Let's get back to the Olympics, because I really want to make sure that she has a chance to talk about this. Because Gail, obviously, this is near and dear to your heart. In 1990, you were diagnosed with Graves' disease, and not only an Olympian being pulled in different directions to talk about that, but also people want to talk about how you are a part of that community and what you're doing for Graves' disease.
Yeah, you know what? Thank you for that. This is actually Graves' Disease Awareness Month, and people know about my Graves' disease story. I share also the link that if you have it, pay attention to your eyes, because for 30 years after I was diagnosed, I've been dealing with eye issues, not driving at nighttime, and it comes back that I was diagnosed with thyroid eye disease. And, I say it with the Graves' disease and everything else. No one should go through what I went through. We're trying to get to that finish line first and be a sprinter. And the only way we're going to do that is to pay attention to your health and not ignore or let other people ignore what you know is right. So that's what I've been doing. But, it's the Olympic Games now. I am a true Olympic fan. I like all events. I like all sports. And I'm glad that it's starting today. I've got it taped, so when I'm not at home, I can, go back and look at it. Back in the day, it was TiVo. Now, you could just put it on with your phone or whatever. So I am that one that will be up at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning because I want to watch it live or whatever. So, yeah, I'm excited that, we're getting started today. I know Simone's starting and the men in gymnastics, waiting for Ledecky to see what she's going to do. Everybody keeps talking about, well, there's some young kids. Okay. Never, ever underestimate the oldies but goodies. So those have been there before, know how to get it done. So I'm waiting and excited for that. And then definitely, track and field. That's my sport. So you know, there's a lot of predictions out there, and I can't make predictions. I like to wait until the events actually start and then see how the athletes run their rounds. Because to me, that's an indicator of where they are. You know, I watched at the trials, and we've got some great stories and of these athletes and young athletes. It's kind of crazy because you watch the Olympic trials and those that, you know, everybody has their favorites or whatever, but those that you thought may make it, some of them, they're not on the team. You know, they're at home, and or they made it on the relay. I think this year, I think we're coming back on that relay. We're about to take it back because we've got some great four, five, and six athletes that, you know, whether they didn't make it in the individual race, they're sitting there waiting. Like, I know Christian Coleman is going to be eager to get out on that track, and I think we may bring the goal back on that. That will be one prediction I make. But other than that, I would love to see what happens. There's in the 200, you know, we've got Gabby, we've got Mackenzie Long, who everybody kind of knows her story by now, and she won NC. She won what I call the Triple Crown. She won the 100, the 200, and then she was also part of their gold medal 4x1. And you know, she lost her mom earlier this year, and so she's just she's got that it factor, in my opinion. And I think, you know, she didn't make it in the 100, and people are like, oh my gosh, she didn't make it in the 100. But things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think her not making it in the 100, I don't know what she thinks her better event is, and I don't actually even care at this point. I think when she gets out there, that 200, she's going to call on something else, that extra, like they say, you can't give more than 100%, so she's going to give 100% and a little oomph, and I think that's going to take her over. I think I hope to see her medal in that event. I think that's a great event for her. And then, you know, everybody's waiting to see. It's been 28 years. Are we going to bring the gold medal back in the 100 meters? If you look at the 100 meters for women, we have sent a great team to Paris. And it's crazy because they swept the coach for Sha'Carri. Sha'Carri's coach is Dennis Mitchell. His crew, they swept. I mean, they first, second, and third came from Dennis Mitchell as a coach. So we got T.T. Terry, you got Melissa Jefferson, you got Sha'Carri. And so it's awesome. And then if you watch what they've run, but now there's going to be competition. Nothing's going to be a giveaway. You know, they're going to have to fight for what they want, because you've got Julian Alford, who's been running very well. And then, you know, like you say, you got the oldies but goodies in the 100 meters. And then I say that because, you know, you can't count out. You may want to, and we want that gold medal to come back. And I know that the team that we sent is great, and they're capable of getting it done. And so that's the, you know, put on your red, white, and blue and sit there and wait for that time so that, you know, we can give all the positive energy, whether you're in Paris or wherever you are. Send that energy to them. I always say you do feel that, because you feel like you're taking it with you.
Okay, all right, yeah. Gail.
Yes,
we love you, but you got to take a breath, because we got questions for you. And if you keep going, it's going to be like a college course here. So hang on, let everybody know. Take a little. Okay, this is Gail Devers. This is why she's a champion, right? She's not let nobody get over on her, right? She just keep going, and great information.
Absolutely,
great information.
Absolutely, we get it from the source.
But I got a bunch of questions here, and I want to get them in there. So, and I know you do too, Sam. Did you
do? Go ahead.
All right. Well, this is what I want to know. First of all, a statement, because she said earlier that she didn't participate in any of the opening ceremonies.
Yeah, because you had to compete there.
And I understand that. I just kind of feel bad, because there was some cool Olona, that dude shooting the arrow and lighting the cauldron. Oh, yeah. That was great.
You weren't there for Ali?
And Ali, that's what I'm saying.
I was watching it from my room. I saw it. See. And I felt like I was there. And for me, it gets me, when it comes time for me to run, I like, all this energy that you hear from me, I channel it to just right there. It's my solitude, and I've got to get ready. I don't want to be on my feet 6-7 hours, because that's basically what it is. If you commit to going to the opening ceremony, you're going to be on your feet. And if you run within the next couple days, it's a lot. Like you saw last night, they talked about Simone was not there. Why? Because she's got to get up and compete this morning.
You know,
and that's a lot. No matter if there's a chair for you or not, it's still just being out in that energy. And you get a lot of energy from being opening, closing ceremonies, and just the whole thing about being at the games. And so you don't want that to take away or distract. And you know, people used to ask me, they're like, but you didn't go, you didn't do this. And I said, okay, let me put it to you this way. People watch the opening ceremonies because it's entertaining. I want to be the entertainment.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. All right, so here's my other question. Here's my other question. You. Think back to when you walked either in the Olympic Village or on the track, Barcelona and Atlanta. Tell us when it was that it hit you that here I am. And what was that? What did you say to yourself? And where were If you can remember Barcelona, let's start there. Or if you want to start in Atlanta.
Okay, so Barcelona, it was getting off the plane and knowing. And then when we went to our first practice, or I don't know if it was the first practice, but one of the practices, it was on Montjuic Mountain, which is like really high. And you look now, this is interesting, though, but when you look down, it was a graveyard. Because I remember going up to where...
Yeah, I heard about that.
Barcelona. Going up to where the swimmers were diving. I was like, oh, boy. You know, and so it does hit you that, for me, in Barcelona, it was like, I can't believe I'm here based off of all that I've just gone through. 18 months ago, I was crawling on my hands, you know, hoping that I'd walk again, and now here I am. And... you make the best of it. In Barcelona, I actually stayed on a boat, on a ship. It was docked, trust me. Okay. I'm not trying to be out in the water.
Yeah.
But it was going and knowing that this is my opportunity. And because I even remember, even after I won the gold medal in the 100 meters, I walked off the ship and I came back. And... asked the captain to put my medal somewhere, and I walked back on saying, this is my only opportunity now, that I'm just getting here again for the hurdle. And so I think, you know, it's a reflection of all that you've gone through. In Atlanta, for me, I didn't live here at that time, but I came here and I said, this is home turf. I don't care if I wasn't born or raised here, this is home turf. And you know, it was just the idea that you get to compete on home soil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in 2028, it's going to be awesome for the U.S. athletes because there's nothing like what we feel like is home field advantage. Any other time, you're taking that, you're taking the world. That's what I'm saying. Bring that energy, send that energy, because as an athlete, across the water, back then it was harder for other people to come with you. Now, you know, you hear people, you know, Simone has 17 people with her, and that support, she's going to rally off that support, but also those that she knows is cheering for her, and you kind of call on that kind of energy to help you get through.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic, folks. Folks, we're getting it from the source this morning.
Hey.
I mean, we really and truly are. And, Gil, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Before I let you go, and I know it bugs you because it bugs me, it's Olympics, and folks in this country sit up and notice track. We had a great event over at Morehouse. I saw you over there. It was fantastic. Can we keep that? And I understand that Michael Johnson is attempting to launch some. Talk about the future of that in the States and your hopes for that.
Oh, my goodness. You know, that's been my hope and prayer since 1902 when I felt like I was born. So, you know, you want to have, you don't want to have to always go across the water to have great competition. Because if you look, even at the trials, we've got the top fastest here, right here in the States. I mean, I'll talk about the women's 100-meter hurdle. That's going to be a fantastic race. But the top, fourth and fifth place at the trials, for the women's 100-meter hurdles, would have made the final. But because we can only bring three, they're not going to be there. They're going to be watching. So we need to have more events like that. And I, you know, hands down to Paul Doyle and Edwin, who put that meet on there. And then I've been talking with Michael Johnson, and we're supposed to meet up hopefully when I get over to Paris. And if not, when I get back to the States. And I want to be involved in that and keep having these events. You know, Atlanta Track Club put on a meet earlier, like a week before that meet. The Adidas, it was the street racing.
Yeah, over in the park.
We've got to keep doing that. You know, Atlanta Track Club is making big strides, and they're going out of their way to not just, you know, they're not just distance. You know, we're also sprinters and hurdlers and jumpers. And so we're trying to put a lot of events on there. The goal is to build a facility. You know, if we can build a facility here, we can keep having those great meets. And I would love, honestly, I would love for the Olympic trials. I know everybody loves Oregon. I love Oregon, too, because that's track town USA. But I live right here. And I saw what Atlanta did at the Olympic Games. Despite people talking about, oh, it's going to be this way, it's going to be that way, it was great. And I didn't live here, so it wasn't I'm rah-rahing because I live here. No, but I saw what we can do. And I think with the new people that are coming in, like you said, Michael Johnson's league, it's fantastic, and that's what these athletes want.
Gail, we're up against it. Listen, we don't do this for anybody, but if you're she got more gold medals than Bill Russell, so we're gonna mess the schedule up. We're gonna mess the schedule up. But we gotta go, Gail. Thank you. I know there's a lot of people that want to talk to you, but during the Olympics, if we get an opportunity to talk to a gold medalist, we're gonna do that. And we can't thank you for making the pivot and joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys. Love you so much. Thank you so much. We'll have to do it again. Let people call in and ask questions.
There you go.
All right. Safe travels.
That is Gail Devers. Joe Patrick, you might as well just stay home. You can't come on after that. But anyway, but Joe is going to join us coming up 9 o'clock hour. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.